On Aspire with Emma Greed, I sit down with people who don't just dream big, they build big. From Mark Cuban to Mel Robbins, we talk about mindset, ambition, and the work that actually moves the needle. Listen to Aspire with me, Emma Greed, an Audacy podcast available now.
So these cameras on school buses have caught literally thousands of a-hole violators blowing past the school buses. I find it to be so damn ignorant. I don't care what the excuse is. They need to increase the fine so high, like $1,000, that if you do it, you know you're screwed. Because it's dangerous as hell, man. I got a video this morning. And I'll tell you what, man. It scared the hell out of me. It was so unnerving to the moms who took it that one of the moms is so sweet. We're calling her the F-bomb mom. Carly, you don't like that name, do you?
It's okay. It's totally fun.
Carly, I'd have done the same damn thing. That was insane. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, there could have been a lot more choice words there.
Oh, my gosh, Carly. That video. Describe what we're seeing here. This is crazy.
The only reason I was even recording is because he just got a new dirt bike, so I was recording his reaction, or I would have never caught it on video.
Wow. Describe what it is, though. What time, what place, and everything, because this is crazy.
So I live on Saxonbury Boulevard, literally probably a half a mile from all three of the schools.
Oh.
And people just never slow down. My husband has said to me, that's the eighth vehicle that has blown past. What? I am so thankful for his bus driver because she did not let him off the bus. She grabbed the back of his sweatshirt. She is just a great, if she would have let him off the bus, it would have been a completely different story.
Wow. So Carly,
and that driver did not even attempt to slow down.
What time was that?
3:50.
Right there on Saxonbury Boulevard in West Deer Township, right?
Yes.
What school is she picking up and dropping off from?
He goes to Cartersville Elementary.
Wow, so
he's only in first grade.
You're standing there, and the view through the camera, what do you see happen, which is crazy?
It's insane. Didn't even attempt to slow down, and that bus stops two houses prior to me. So if you were coming down, you would have saw it stop down. Yeah, in the school time, I could get it in the summer or whatever, not even get it, but it's school time. From 2:30 to 4:15, you should always be cautious. You never know where a kid's running from. Kids are unpredictable.
So Carly, so this bus comes to a full stop. Full stop. The big stop signs are out.
Yes.
Clearly violation of the law if you go past, right?
Yes.
And you see this massive Amazon truck just blows by. I mean, fast.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes.
And that's when you kind of scream, which I would have done too, because it scares the hell out of you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And have you called Amazon about this guy? Because I couldn't see a license number. We couldn't find it.
I did call Amazon, and they did not reach back out to me.
Who did you call? Because we got to get in touch with them.
I just called the customer service number, and they did not reach back out to me, but I did talk to West Deer Police Department, and they were going to review the cameras, and then he would get a fine through them. But just a fine isn't enough. Like, that could have been my child.
It's hell yeah, it could have. And this isn't some little car. This is a massive Amazon truck.
Yeah.
You kind of shocked by how fast he was going? I mean, he blew by.
Yeah. Didn't even attempt to, like, slam on his brakes or nothing.
Oh, no. I got to imagine, and I just have to fill in the blanks, Carly. I got to imagine that he was distracted. Is that the best we can do?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah, I mean, you had to have been distracted at that point.
Wow. And these bus drivers have to be so careful because now they don't know that anyone's going to stop, right?
Yes.
Clearly, this is a major violation of the law.
Yeah.
And you say you see this a lot?
We do see it a lot on Sacramento Boulevard. People just don't slow down. Wow. Whether it's a cell phone, whether they're just not paying attention, or no parent should have to worry about their kid getting on a school bus.
Which school district
getting
is that?
Getting on a school bus. Deer Lakes.
Deer Lakes. And what police department?
West Deer.
West Deer. I'm on it. The video kind of tells a story that's very dramatic, and I appreciate you calling us and showing us this, because it makes a lot of sense that people need to learn. Thank you.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Wow. If you have the chance on social, it's kind of blown up. There's a 250,000, 300,000 people have seen it already. The bus, we kind of noticed this too, Patrick. That bus came to a complete stop. It's not as if it was slowing down. It's not as if it had the blinking yellow on. Those big red signs that pop out, they were out, bro.
The red signs and the red lights on top on the front of the bus, too. So you can see those from, you know, a good ways down the road.
And Patrick, he was booking in that Amazon truck.
Oh, he's hauling booty down that road.
Yeah.
On wet roads at that.
Yeah. It's kind of my lesson when I'm kind of trying to sort of teach my kids how to drive. And these bus drivers are so good at this. They don't trust the traffic, and why would they? They pulled violations from 1 year in the city of Pittsburgh. 1 year, they were like 7,000.
Wow.
I don't understand it. I think, I'm not defending bad drivers because there are a lot of bad drivers. I think my best guess is there's so much going on now in vehicles with texting and music and that massive screen in front of you. And with an Amazon guy looking at the next delivery and the delivery route and the delivery times, he just didn't see this. However, that police department needs to reach out to Amazon, and that guy needs a ticket, and someone at Amazon needs to retrain their people, because that could have ended up with a death, and we'd be telling a whole different story. I find it scary as hell that we're kind of in a place where this sort of thing happens on a regular basis. If you have a chance to see the video on social, Patrick is streaming it right now. He went blowing right through it. My girl Megan, whose family owned this wonderful restaurant. This would happen all the time outside of our restaurant. Our kids got on the bus. I used to stand in the middle of the road. Wow. I can't understand it. And by the way, the sweet woman, Carly, who sent us the video, when she saw this, she dropped an F-bomb, which, by the way, I would have done too, and asked us to bleep it out, and we did. Well, we now call her F-bomb mom. Good for you, Carly, for giving a damn.
She loves it hot, he loves it cool. The Pod by 8 Sleep is a smart mattress cover that fits on your bed and keeps each side at the perfect temperature all night long. By staying comfortably warm or cool, the Pod helps you sleep deeper and wake up feeling more rested. Every morning, you get daily health insights and a sleep fitness score. Get up to $350 off with code DEEPSLEEP at 8sleep.com.
Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Pittsburgh Public Schools had so many athletes that were failing. It's kind of sad, actually. This is actually kind of a fascinating study of a society and our culture and urban schools versus suburban schools, wealthy districts versus poor districts, poor kids versus kids that have wealth, divided families versus families that are together. All these things kind of come into this mix. I discussed this morning with Patrick, and I'm fascinated to hear Trevin's take. So, Trevin, we kind of raised this issue, and it really kind of drove the momentum at Pittsburgh Public Schools. They had a bunch of jocks who had grade point averages of 1.25. If I'm lying, I'm dying. Now, 1.25 is a D. Okay, 2.0 is kind of sort of a C minus. And by the way, that stricter policy was just approved last year. Prior to that, they were letting these kids play football and basketball that had 1.25 grade point averages. What you're doing is a disservice to those kids. You're telling them, ah, man, go play football and hoops. You're cool. School doesn't matter. Seriously.
And you know what, Marty?
Go ahead, brother.
And I don't know if people are going to hate me for saying this.
Please do. I love you.
When it comes to a student, I don't care what community you come from. I don't care what color you are.
Right.
I don't care what your background is. When it comes to a student, and if you think you're doing them a favor.
Thank you.
By saying, okay,
get
your grades are bad, go play.
Thank you.
That decreases their self-awareness of their self-value.
Well, where the hell are they going to go to school with a 1.25 grade point average,
but
brother?
But not only that.
Jesus.
Think about it, Marty. Mentally,
right.
Where's your motivation?
That's wild.
Where's
great,
your
great
challenge?
Great observation.
Like, as a student, and I played up to college. I ran track in college. But the sport helped me find my strengths and weaknesses.
By the way, that's true.
But the classroom helped me find myself.
Okay, let me throw this at you. And I don't know if you're going to be shocked or not. Just to understand the dynamic here. So in Pittsburgh, and we pushed this, where they let countless athletes get by with a 1.25, which, right, Trevin? That's like a D, right? That's a D,
that's
right?
That's almost an F.
I mean, is almost failing.
Yeah, it's an F. Come on.
And so what you're doing is you're pushing a kid through. And by the way, just so you understand their future that my man's talking about here, Trevin, 80% of those kids had to have remedial classes in math and English just to get into CCAC. In other words, they had to teach these young women how to do simple math and simple English to get into the community college, Trevin.
I understand that.
And okay.
And I'm not blaming, and no one should blame the young person. No one.
Well, they have responsibility.
Well, no, hold
to
on,
study,
now, Marty.
Man.
Hold on.
No, I'm sorry.
Because
you can't abdicate. No, you can't do that.
I don't want my cake and eat it too, but it's the grown-ups and the adults that
I know,
are pushing them through.
But the kids have to take my man, when my son jacks up a class, and he has been lately,
you
it's
hold
on
him accountable,
him.
Right?
I'm in his face.
Most definitely.
And if he doesn't take responsibility, I punish him.
Most definitely.
So hold on, let me throw this.
Especially high school kids, gentlemen.
Yep. Let me throw this at you, Trevin. And I'm telling you this, and I want your reaction. So last night, I go to, my son's an athlete, he's a swimmer. And we go to Mount Lebanon High School to have the letter ceremony. You know what a letter is? You play so much of a sport, like half the downs in football, you swim in half the meets, whatever. And you get a letter, it's kind of cool. So Trevin, so in relation to what I just told you about the kids suffering in Pittsburgh Public Schools with a 1.25, the average grade point, now there was about 400 athletes there last night that lettered in every sport in the school, maybe 500 in Mount Lebanon. It's a big school. The average grade point of those athletes in that room, Trevin, was 3.5. Okay, the average grade point of the swimmers, which is my son's team,
right,
3.8.
Right.
Now, again, there's 800 factors here. Mom and dad in the house.
Definitely.
Mom and dad have access to tutors.
Definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
Mom and dad have money. Mom and dad are there. Right?
But
right?
You.
But by the way, Pittsburgh Public School has amazing teachers too.
Right. But when you throw money in, money is a factor. I get money is the root to a lot of things. But where I'm coming from, Marty, and when I say no one should blame the young ones, yes, they have to be accountable.
Yes, sir.
But they have parents, and some of them don't have parents. Some of them might have an uncle that's raising them. Some of them might have an aunt that's raising them. They might have a grandmother or grandfather that's raising them. But there's an adult. Hopefully, there's an adult somewhere. So that adult has to be their support system.
Right on. But you think of the dynamic of the difference between Mount Lebanon's athletes, these kids in Pittsburgh. Man, there's 1,000 things that create that drama, right? Right?
They probably have 1,000 more opportunities.
Right on.
But
not even close.
But let me say this, though, Marty. Just because you come from a community that might be deprived or a community that might not have as much money or have as much value, people thrive. People have become presidents. People have become vice presidents of companies from those communities.
Hell
so you can't look at the community and say, oh, because you don't have $1,000, your child is going to be dumb.
No, it's not true. But here's what
happens. What do you mean it's not true?
Hold on. I'm going to tell you what happens in my house. If my son doesn't do well on a test, we hire a tutor.
Money.
It's $75 an hour. They can't do that in most homes in the city.
But you still have an adult, hopefully. I can't generalize and say everybody does. Hopefully there's an adult somewhere to give you some type of substance.
Here's my biggest issue with it, because what you're saying is spot on. However, here's the crisis of this, brother. I grew up in the city, and Peabody High School was that bad when I was 16, and that's 50 years ago. You know what I'm saying?
I hear you.
It's an American tragedy. And here's the other thing, and I'm gonna tell you the truth. There were two black people in that entire auditorium last night. And I think that's a disservice. And I love Mount Lebanon. Love it, covet it, the schools, the teachers, everything. But until we have a mix of everyone and everyone, we won't be what we want to be. And until the kids in these schools that are getting 1.25s, now they have to get a 2.0. And they struggle. But it's very, very difficult to succeed pushing hard to get a 2.0. Then you look around an auditorium where every swimmer has straight A's. Those kids have a massive advantage, and it's very, very frustrating. And it jumped out my face last night, and it's unsettling.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I became friends with the school board member in Wilkinsburg, and he came on here one day because we had the same conversation I just had with Trevin, suggesting you got every single swimmer on the Mount Lebanon swimming team. They're all straight A students. There are kids going to Penn and Yale and blah, blah, blah. Okay? And in Wilkinsburg, most of the kids were failing. And so the school board member, we became good friends. I loved him. He's a young man, very, very, very progressive thinking, trying to save lives out there. And my man said, Marty, do you hear, this is truth, do you hear gunshots at night at your house? Seriously, went on and on. No, I don't. Marty, are you and your wife together? Yeah. For how long? 25 years. Yeah. You both have good jobs? Yeah. Do you have access to tutors for your kids? Yeah. Is one of you at home all the time? Yeah. How many of your kids' friends are in prison for murder? None. How many of your kids' friends have ever committed a crime? None. And what he was doing was saying, look, my man, he wasn't making excuses. What he's saying is, man, the world is so different. I mean, it just is. And I lament this, quite frankly, with my wife, because I have my brain's always trying to fixate on what the hell we're doing here, what we're doing right and what we're doing wrong. And I love Mount Lebanon. I love the way the schools teach the kids. I love the police department and the fire, all of it. It's an amazing, in fact, Hottie Hanna of Howard Hanna Real Estate says it's his best community in the country. I get that. However, and I'm not picking on Mount Lebanon here, but when I'm in an auditorium with 800 people and there's one African-American, that's it. That, to me, in my world, that's a problem, because no one has any experience of life that kids would have if they had more of a diverse. And my daughters grew up in that bubble, and they're wonderful kids, and they're 4-0s at Pitt. But for the first time in their lives, they're getting some of that, and it's good for them. But it makes my heart ache that they do have great teachers in Pittsburgh. They just do, man. But you got kids that are so far behind the eight ball that I sometimes wonder why we can't just blow the whole thing up, because this ain't working, man. And to my point, I grew up in this town, man, and Peabody High School sucked when I was 17 years old. And I'm 65 plus, and those schools still suck. They had 50 years to fix it, and they can't. And at some point, someone says, we got to give a damn about these kids, man, with a 1.2 grade point average, don't we? I think so. Anyway, it's important. Makes you think. I got to get to this video that I posted last night, and I got to bring Paul Anthony back in. We've been having a lot of discussions about dogs and doggy daycares. He's the best dog trainer in America, and I mean that. And he joins me this afternoon. Hey, brother, how are you?
How are you, sir? Doing well.
So he said something yesterday that was profound about people bring their dogs into these doggy daycares, and sometimes there's one person working and 30 dogs. And then what happens is one dog goes after another dog, and then all of a sudden there's this pack mentality, and all of a sudden a dog is literally being eaten alive. So a woman whose dog was attacked, right, Paul?
Yes, sir.
She sends us the actual scenario, which we have posted on social, of that attack going down. Describe what you saw and how this plays right into your theory about pack mentality and doggy daycares.
Well, first of all, that situation should have never happened. And like she said yesterday, that dog wasn't supposed to be in that room with those other dogs. But looking at those two dogs, you could see, first of all, how they were starting to get a little amped up. And that should have been stopped right away. That should have never happened. And it's like two kids in an argument, you know, you separate them so it doesn't get into a physical altercation. And that's what I witnessed yesterday with that. Once the fight started, the other dogs, with the pack mentality on some of the dogs, they came in. So you'll be able to pull one of the dogs off, and one of the dogs at some point can come in there and attack that dog, just like the first dog did. So that's what I'm really a big advocate about. If you are going to go to a doggy daycare, make sure there are adequate people in that room per dog. And like I said, one person for 10 dogs, yeah, that's okay. But any more than that, there'd be two people in that room because of the pack mentality, and that person wouldn't be able to pull enough dogs off. So
I'm watching this, to your point, Paul Anthony, I'm watching this attack. And to your point, it looks as if the woman working was trying hard to separate these dogs, right? It's not that easy, though, is it?
Oh, no, absolutely, Marty. And, you know, the biggest thing is we've come into a world where, violent things happen with dogs.
Yeah.
And there has to be a way to stop those dogs. And, you know, we use a little riding crop with ours and not to beat the dogs, you know, to just get them away, push them away, things like that. I know people who use air horns and compressed air and things like that. But sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. If a dog has intent on attacking another dog or a person, you have to go to the next level and you have to figure out what to do. And again, did the girl do the right thing? Yes, she did what she, you know, she did the best that she could. But I believe also she was a little overwhelmed with that.
Yeah, Paul, I'm seeing that. And my man, to your point, I'm watching this video that Patrick has on the stream right now, and we have it on both our social accounts too. I'm counting too many dogs in that room with one person. Is that fair?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, it looks like a smaller room. The smaller it gets, the more problems you're going to have, because dogs have a fight or flight response. Oh. If a dog can't flee from something that it feels uncomfortable with, then you're going to have a response that could be fight and reactivity.
Hey, what is it about their DNA that instinctively makes them? Because I'm watching. Once the one dog attacks the little dog, then a bunch of other dogs jump in and join in the attack. What is that, man?
It's some breeds do it, some breeds don't. But it's a pack mentality. So we have to figure, you know, dogs are, you know, in the wild, dogs do what? They go out there and they find things to eat. They chase things to eat and things like that. Once a dog grabs something, you have another dog come over and help with that. Like, I'm not saying to kill it, but again, with the pack mentality, that's what you can have. And because dogs are predators, they're predators and scavengers, that predatory instinct kicks in, and that's what you have.
Hey, Paul, I'm watching her try and separate these dogs as they're kind of chowing down this little dog that was injured and bleeding quite a bit. Do they ever go after folks like you, the trainer? Is that, they get dangerous?
Oh, absolutely. I can't tell you how many times dogs have come into our place like that, that have reacted just like that, to humans.
Wow. Hey, Patrick, have your dogs ever been, because you have little dogs, have they ever been attacked like this in a, you know?
My dogs are so small, I would never put them in a situation like this. So that's not a thing for us. I've had dogs in the past, though, that I did send to doggy daycare, but we also didn't put them in the room right away with a bunch of strange dogs. When we did let them go to doggy daycare, they'd already been introduced to the regulars that were in that group, on a person. We introduced them in person and took them to this group of dogs. So they were kind of introduced to them. They weren't just, full new dogs in that group, when they were there without us.
Hey, to his point, Paul, do you bring, like Patrick has really little dogs, do you bring them to a doggy daycare if they're nothing but big dogs?
Yeah, absolutely. What Patrick hit the nail on the head. there has to be a meeting time. There has to be all of that. If you're going to bring little dogs there, you better have little dogs in that room with them. Oh. Like if you have a 10, 15 pound dog, something 25, 35 pounds is way too much for that dog. You have to go by size also, age, things like that. But where Patrick went, and I don't know, they did it correctly. You know, there has to be a getting to know period. Also, like Patrick said, where they're evaluated, is my dog even able to go to a doggy daycare? Does it feel stressed out? Is it over-adrenalized? And things like that.
Wow. Paul Anthony, thanks, brother.
Thank you, sir. Man, thank you, Patrick.
Important stuff. The video is actually fascinating to watch. It raises a lot of questions about what you should do if you're thinking about putting your dog somewhere, and really does, and you got to be very, very careful, as we just heard. just for reference for all you filling up your tank, topping it off, which is stupid. Oil was $130 a barrel in 2022, right when Russia invaded the Ukraine. We're at 90. It is what it is. Trump's going to do what Trump's going to do. The military's going to keep pushing forward. I don't know the end game. I get tired of the ignorant, pompous, arrogant political leaders debating whether or not this is a war. It's all day crap. And these idiot reporters. Is this a war? Well, Trump said it's a war. What do you say, sir? I really? Worried about the verbiage. I have always have concerns when we commit troops. I remember the fervor. More than anything else, it was palpable post 9/11. We were all vengeful. We were. We were very emotional. All of us. I have friends that signed up. Yeah. And there was this massive, we got to get even thing. And then we found so-called weapons of mass destruction. We ended up in a war, and there were none. And thousands of Americans died, and trillions of dollars later. Here's what happened with Trump. And you can't debate this because we can play this for you forever. His part of his shtick was, I will never do that. And here we are. I will never go to war. And here we are. It scares me. It troubles me. And what will get awful, in all the experts, the guys that know war, the General McCausland's, the Colonel McCausland's, I apologize, the guys that are objective about this, not subjective, suggest we cannot win this sort of thing without some sort of troops on the ground in Iran. You can send all the flashy missiles you want. You can show all the videos of something being blown up and go, ooh, that's cool. But it's when Marines start parachuting in and men and women start to die that more, we already have six, that it hits home and gets to be very, very sensitive and emotional. And the problem with this is no one knows. It's that leak in the dam, right? It gets bigger and bigger and bigger as this war scales to other countries, right? In other regions of the world that say, we're in. And now I'm reading that Russia is giving Iran information on U.S. military targets. Isn't that special? Another reason to enrage Trump. If we drag Russia and China into this, folks, all bets are off. And then suddenly we're thinking, what the hell's happening to our world? Overnight. Dramatic stuff. Man, be safe out there.
Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.